This is Healthy Children with Melanie Cole and expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics on Radio MD.
You know, you're happy when your kids get involved in team sports. You want them to feel that feeling of being a part of a team, inclusion, getting that activity and the exercise. But according to the National Safe Kids Campaign and the American Academy of Pediatrics, more than 20,000 children ages 5 to 14 were treated in hospital emergency rooms for ice hockey-related injuries. So, blah, blah, I'm happy that they're active, but sports that are as fast as ice hockey and have sticks that fly around in the air and a puck that's going something like 100 miles an hour, I just don't even know what to think of it because I would never want my kids to do it, but a lot of parents do. My guest, Dr. William Meehan, he's director of the Michelle Center for Sports Injury Prevention. Dr. Meehan, so ice hockey, another dangerous one. What do we do about ice hockey? Because we live in Chicago, it's a big hockey town.
Yeah, and, same here in New England, yeah.
You know, it's definitely something that a lot of parents want their kids to do, and it's a winter sport. Skating is real good for you, but there's a lot of dangers in ice hockey.
There are, and a lot of them come from body checking, as you alluded to. And again, the process is similar. You want to weigh the risks against the benefits. There is a petition going around now to try and expand the non-checking hockey leagues for kids who enjoy playing the game, but maybe don't want to assume the risks associated with body checking. I think that's an important step. Many of the men's leagues are like that. As far as the body checking goes, you know, it's interesting. There's been a push to delay the age at which you introduce it. And certainly, you know, if you don't introduce body checking until a later age, the risks of injury for those younger athletes who aren't yet checking are lower, no question about that.
Dr. Meehan, tell the listeners what's checking.
Oh, sorry, body checking. So, in ice hockey, if a player is carrying the puck, one of the ways to take the puck away from him is to skate into him, sort of collide with him and knock him off of the puck so that you can then assume control of it.
Nice.
Yeah, and there was a great study done in Canada where they compared the injury rates between leagues on the East Coast and the West Coast, which introduced body checking at a different age. And it turns out when you introduce body checking, obviously the risks of injury go up compared to the group that's not yet checking. But when they both come of age where they're both checking, those who had 2 years of prior body checking experience had lower rates of serious injuries, defined as those that resulted in time lost of greater than a week. So there probably is something you learn at a younger age when the speeds are a little slower, the forces are a little lower, that reduces your risk of getting a serious injury later on. And if you're only introduced it when everybody's really fast and strong and coordinated, the risk of serious injury is probably higher in that setting.
So you were mentioning men's leagues have started eliminating checking. But
yeah,
those same men might have kids that are in ice hockey and they don't seem to mind it. Why the sort of cross there?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think most of them probably enjoyed the body checking when they were younger, and now they don't
hurt longer from
assume the risk. Yeah, and I think we ought to give kids the option. I think there should be an expansion of non-checking leagues for those who don't want to assume the risk. I think you need the checking leagues if you're going to have it at the higher levels, because the last thing you want to do is take a kid who's never body checked before, and now all of a sudden he's playing college hockey and he's trying to learn about checking on the fly. I think that's a dangerous situation.
It's such a fast sport, hockey. It goes so, so quickly.
Yeah.
So if they were to eliminate checking, how would kids, I mean, they're going to bump into each other and they're on the ice, and these kids don't have that great of control. They're not like professional skaters who
right.
are just amazing. So how would you even eliminate that, even if it's not, you know, if they're not doing it consciously?
It's interesting. So in many of us in sports medicine think of sports in sort of three broad categories. One is non-contact. That's things like cross-country swimming and tennis where there's no body-to-body contact. The second one is contact, things like soccer and basketball where you can't purposely collide with a player, but still you're going to be bumping into each other as you contend for the ball and other things. And then there's collision sports like football and men's ice hockey where you're purposely colliding with one another. So you're essentially saying, well, what if you tried to eliminate purposeful body checking in ice hockey? And in that case, you would turn it from a collision sport into a contact sport. But as we all know, contact sports also have risks of injuries, and many times that are comparable to collision sports. But fortunately, the risks of serious injuries seems to be a little bit lower. One thing you could do to try and reduce that incidental body contact is increase the size of the rinks. So the rink size actually varies by team and certainly by country. And the larger the rink, the lower the risk of collision and the risk of injuries.
Men's. It's men's sports. All these men's sports are collision. Women don't want to run into each other. We
right.
don't. Our little daughters, they don't want to run into each other. Sometimes it happens in soccer, but they don't want to bump into each other. It's just men things and guy things, really. So, again, I ask you as a parent, sitting on the sidelines, do we trust the equipment that is provided for our children in ice hockey?
Equipment is fascinating. It's sort of a double-edged sword. So inevitably, most equipment does what it's supposed to do. You introduce helmets to ice hockey, and the risk of skull fractures and blood in the brain goes down, no question about it. But you do change the way the game is played. And so since the mandating of helmets in the National Hockey League, the rates of high-sticking penalties have tripled because nobody ever carried their stick up in the air when you might hit a guy in the head. But once he's got a helmet on, you feel he's protected, you take a little more risk. They introduced the penalty called boarding, and they had to explicitly say you can't take a guy who's a few feet out from the board and throw him head first into the board. But the truth is people didn't do that a lot when they're wearing helmets because you might hurt the guy. But when you introduce all these pads, people feel protected. They play more aggressively. They take a little more risk, and there's dangers associated with that. So I wouldn't say I trust the equipment. I think you need to wear it. You need to check it. You need to make sure it's properly fitted. But we always have to keep in mind when we introduce protective equipment that it will likely change the way the game is played.
Well, and also the way the game is played, especially at the professional and collegiate levels, people cheer when the checking happens and when people slam the other guy into the wall and fights break out. I mean, that's what they like. And back in the old stadium days in the Blackhawks, that is what people waited for when they went to these games.
Yeah, still true today. And I'll say, you know, I can understand you're in a game. Maybe somebody takes a cheap shot on a teammate, or maybe a really big guy sort of takes a big hit at a smaller guy, and his teammate steps in and defends him, and there's a little bit of a dust-up. I can understand that. What I can't understand at all is the game's just getting going, and your big guy lines up across from our big guy, and they drop the gloves and fight. I don't see the point in that. I don't find that exciting. I don't think it's a natural part of the game, and I got to confess that annoys me a little bit.
So what's the AAP stance now on checking in ice hockey? What are you looking toward the future? We have about, I don't know, a minute and a half or less left. So what do you want to see happen, and what's the AAP stance?
Well, I'll focus on the big one since it is sort of a topic that's coming around now. I think there needs to be an expansion of the non-checking hockey leagues. I think there's a lot of kids, particularly in New England, but also Minnesota, Michigan, Illinois, as you mentioned, around Chicago, who'd like to play ice hockey, but who don't or whose parents don't want them to assume the risk of body checking. And I think we have to do that. Things that you could do if your child is playing is improve their agility and balance on their skates, strengthen their neck muscles, and improve their overall conditioning. The risk of injury gets higher as an athlete is fatigued.
Well, that's certainly true. And I think that the more that we work with our kids, train them, even training our girls, lateral movements for soccer, reducing the ACL injuries. I mean, they're going to get injuries and these things can happen. But if we better train them and these coaches are prepared, then we at least have a fighting chance to keep our kids safe. Thank you so much, Dr. Meehan. It's great research you do. We always like to have you on the show. So please, please come back. Listeners, you're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. If you missed any of the great information, please listen anytime, on demand or on the go at radiomd.com. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening. Oh, and stay well.